The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 7th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator, located in Lexington. In agricultural news, new research points to the possibility of upping ethanol blends at the pump without requiring engines to be retooled as flex fuel. The president says he will veto the farm bill if it raises taxes or does not cut off payments to the wealthiest individuals in the nation. And the Department of Justice has thrown a huge monkey wrench into the way U.S. exchanges make money. It says an exchange should not be allowed to own or control clearing functions. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all comes up on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. This agricultural programming is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, providing independent commodity and financial analysis to clients throughout the United States. Risk Management Commodities Incorporated has offices located in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Futures trading in Chicago, Kansas City, and Minneapolis finished the day like this. The Minneapolis Grain Exchange December wheat contract up 28 cents. The rest of them up the limit, up 30. December wheat at 11.02 on the settlement price, 28 higher, but it traded as low as $10.61 today. March wheat in Chicago at 10.63 settlement price, up the 30-cent limit. July down 2.5 at 9.53.5. March corn futures down 2 cents on the afternoon at 4.99.5. The May at 5.12.25 down 2, and July at 5.23.25 down 2.5. December futures 3.25 lower at 5.22.25. March soybean futures 13.31.5 up 13 cents. The May futures up 11.5 at 13.50.5, and July at 13.62.25, 10.5 cents higher. November soybeans $12.81. They finished 1.5 cents higher for the day. Soybean meal March contract 361.70 up 9.90. March bean oil at 55.12. That finished 0.04 higher. Live cattle at the CME Group's Mercantile Exchange, 92.67.5, up 122.5. The April's up 157.5 at 96.05. March feeder cattle at 105.85 were up 92.5 cents, and the April futures up 97.5 at 110.22.5. February lean hog futures at $58.55. down 40 cents on the afternoon. Outside markets, March crude oil futures, $87.88 a barrel, now 75 cents higher. April futures at $88.02, they're up 80 cents for the day. CRB index at 366.91, that's up 280. The dollar at 76.94, up just about 82 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,214 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, the Kansas City Board of Trade, and the Minneapolis Grain Exchange is our very own ADM Grain Group analyst, Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
You're on cell phone. You're out at a meeting again today?
Well, I'm actually on the Texas Eagle headed back to Bloomington. I've spent the last couple of days in Chicago, so that's where I'm at.
You're on a train?
Yeah, I'm on a train.
They're traveling right now? So
yeah.
Well, we're living on the edge, baby. How's the view?
Well, we're still in the Chicago city limits, so we should have a good cell signal here.
Well, the view's probably not all that great if you're in the Chicago city limits, but it might not be too terribly bad. Hey, speaking of Chicago, tell me about yesterday's trade to begin with, and then we'll pick up with where things went overnight and today.
Well, yesterday's trade was one of those exhaustion-type trades that you a lot of times see at the end of a prolonged move. And, of course, you know, the commodity markets have been basically on a 10-day move to the upside ever since we had that, you know, limit down day here. I guess it's been 2 weeks ago. So we've been on a steady climb higher. Yesterday, with all of the emotions surrounding the wheat market, with limit up led by the Minneapolis wheat, and then limit up, of course, in Kansas City hard wheat and Chicago soft wheat, it was just, I think, just too much momentum that corn market just went on up through the January high, hit a lot of buy stops. The beans regrouped. It had already penetrated that January high, and everything just kind of surged higher on good technical buying, fund interest. And then, of course, late in the session, there was a rumor that the federal government may delay the renewable fuels mandate for a year or two, given that it doesn't look like we're going to be able to have enough acres to meet that renewable fuels mandate. So that kind of sent everything to the downside there in the closing 15 minutes. We were on the trade. I was with a group of farmers. We were on the board of trade when that happened, and you could just see that kind of meltdown. But when you take into account the emotion that drove that market higher, and then the way it closed, and then, of course, the way the market performed here today, you have to say that, you know, the market is settling down and so far has taken it quite well.
So yesterday, as you suggested, there were a couple of things happening. There was a rumor, and we tried to check and see how much of a rumor this was, and as best we can tell, it's only a rumor on the U.S. EPA thinking about pushing back the reformulated fuels mandate.
Well, you know, it is a rumor, but it's one of those kind of rumors that I don't think will ever go away. I think it's just going to continue to be brought up. But to my understanding, if the federal government decides to do something like that, they're going to have to go through a hearing process. So it's going to have to come out into the open. It's just not going to be somebody who's going to sign an executive order and all of a sudden postpone it. So, but the fact that it came up tells you the fact that somebody in Washington is concerned about the acreage situation as we go into the new growing season, and probably panic time may or may not come sometime after that March 31st report, and we'll see what kind of acreage numbers we're going to have and whether or not the market needs to, you know, rally to get more corn acres, or, you know, a decline that we've got enough acres. So it's going to be kind of a touch and go deal, but it's kind of like I think the market now has a little lasso wrapped around its neck, and every time it maybe gets a little too strong, you may see the you know, that rope jerked a little bit. So it's the kind of thing that I don't like to see in a place because it hangs over the market, but it's going to definitely be kind of a wall of worry type situation, and the market may be able to overcome that as we go down the road.
Two other items I think I'd like your assessment of. Department of Justice simply says, and we'll hear this a bit later, that exchanges shouldn't be clearing houses as well. And yesterday there was a lot of depression in the shareholders' value at the CME Group. Since you were on the floor, did you hear much about that, and did that have an impact on
how it went? Well, it definitely was a point of discussion on the floor. And, you know, that's all going to be – that's a political situation, whether or not the CME Group is going to be able to go ahead with some of their further expansion in the trading. Yeah, there's a big concern that they would have a monopoly in all the trading activity throughout a major part of the U.S. So I think that's going to be a concern, and of course that definitely, you know, has a reaction. That's why the stock traded sharply lower on that one.
And then the other thing, and this was, farmers had the opportunity to sell $5 corn on Tuesday, I guess, cash. And then I can see this happening two ways, and don't worry about the people talking in the background. we can hear you over the top of them. I can see this happening in two ways. That an awful lot of corn probably got sold at $5, and then either there was a whole lot of hedging that was happening by the grain elevators, which would have been a sale too, or the other possibility was that margin calls were so steep that they were rolling out of positions and then just making cash sales to the Gulf.
You had a combination of those things, but there is no doubt the cost to run a grain elevator is just astronomical compared to what it was a year ago. A year ago, we had $4 corn. I think March futures were around $4. I think March soybeans were around $7.40 or 50 cents. Now today, we've got $5 corn, so that's a dollar more. You got soybeans, you know, at $13, so you're talking about $5 more soybeans. So, and then a lot of this grain was bought from the farmer during the fall months, during December, and even in early January before the crop report came out. So, this grain was bought at lower levels as the market has had to go up. The elevator points have had to feed margin calls into Chicago, and that has pushed a lot of people right up against their limits. They can't borrow no more. So what they have a tendency to do is to liquidate those hedges by moving cash into the commercial channels, and then they lift that hedge, and then that reduces that margin requirement. And it frees up capital for their operation. And we did see a lot of that, I think, yesterday. I did look at the open interest. I didn't see a lot of drop in open interest values. But that is a major concern. And I don't know if we saw so much farmer selling yesterday. We have seen a lot of farmers selling, you know, when it hit $4 and $4.50. And I think a lot of them now are at the point where they're not willing to sell a whole lot more until they kind of see a little bit more how this picture is going to play out here over the next 30 to 90 days or so.
Two more items to take up, and we'll go to the grain exchange in just a moment and talk about wheat and hard and soft red winter wheat in Chicago. But take up the item you discussed earlier on, which was that you view yesterday's action as an exhaustion move. You have been more bullish than that. Is that an exhaustion move just for the last 10-day move, or is it something greater than that?
Well, we don't know for sure. I think the way the beans came back today, the beans are looking stronger. The corn still finished to close lower. I think you have a good update tomorrow to kind of neutralize it. There's no doubt looking at the daily chart, those are going to look like spike highs. And whether or not the market will be able to overcome that or not, you know, we're going to have to kind of take one day at a time. But I think the way the market performed today was an indication that it's at least capable of overcoming that. But I think it may take several days to do that. There's a couple other things that I look at that I think's been key supportive influences in the marketplace that may be casting kind of a negative influence on corn and soybeans, and that is the dollar does look like it is trying to carve out some kind of intermediate low anyway. The monthly charts are still bearish and still points to lower levels. When you take a look at the daily chart, it looks like the dollar is trying to stabilize, maybe begin to rally. And I think if that's the case, then that removes a bullish element. The other thing is the energy markets, the charts on the energy charts, crude oil, have somewhat of a negative bias to it. It kind of looks like maybe there's room to lose some value in crude oil. And again, I think, you know, that has been a supportive influence to commodity prices, and that may turn a little negative. I don't know for sure if you want to call it a major trend change in the making, but I do think there's some cautionary things out there now that maybe there wasn't here 2-3 weeks ago. I kind of told Dave this morning, now we're probably entering the stage of climbing that wall of worry, and we do have a lot of things to worry about now, and we'll just kind of have to see how it goes. Short-term cyclical work, I still generally want to stay a little positive for another week or two. But there's no doubt about it. Yesterday's action has my attention. Like I said, the way we closed here today, I think, you know, we're still on some solid footing. There's a lot of good demand underneath this market. There's still the constant worry about how many acres we're going to get planted this spring and to which crops. So I think those are supportive influences, yeah.
And then finally, let's close out with the wheat, grain exchange wheat. I think December is the spring wheat harvest month. Finished 28 cents higher, but traded as low as $10.61, finished at $10.74, and as high as $11.04. So it finished in the middle of that range or on the lower end of that range. I think that might tell you something about next year's wheat crop. And July futures in Chicago were down in 2.5 cents, despite the fact that there was a 30-cent gain in the nearby contract.
Well, eventually we're going to get this squeeze play worked out in Minneapolis. The thing of it is you don't sometimes the price doesn't necessarily tell you what the true market value is. And that's something that I've learned now working for ADM is that there's different markets. There's a 10,000 bushel market, there's a 100,000 bushel market, and there's a 500,000 bushel market. And just because the quote screen is telling you this is the value of corn or soybeans or wheat, you don't know actually how many contracts actually traded there. So you don't really know how true a market that really is. But they have been letting a few of the shorts out every once in a while there in Minneapolis, and they're, of course, blending the hard red winter wheat with spring wheat to kind of stretch the supply around. So, but the fact that, you know, we are at some levels and people are getting out, you know, it may be an indication that, again, that we may be nearing some form of exhaustion on this strong limit up move that we've seen in soybeans for wheat for several days.
I'll let you get back to training your way across to the nation, okay?
Yeah, they finally stopped yapping over the PA system.
Well, I heard that happen. Actually, I thought I lost you there for a moment when that happened. So.
But no, train here, this is a nice little ride down to Bloomington. It's easier than fighting the traffic and fighting the parking garages and everything. So I usually take the train when I go to Chicago.
All right. Well, have a good, safe trip home.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joining us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. One other note on something he said there at the end about not knowing whether it was a 5,000, a 10,000, or 100,000 bushel market and price. One of the things that happens in the E-Trade on the floor and that some brokers can see on their screens is that they have a depth of market list, and it shows them exactly how many trades are sitting there at certain levels. So that's probably something to keep in mind as you listen to your brokers and talk to people in the marketing business. It's possible to actually see how big that trade is or is not.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt should join us. Our own meteorologist Daniel Pounder says tonight across the two-state region in the north will be cloudy, some snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, a few scattered flurries. Lows will range from 15 in northwestern Illinois to 30 in the south. Tomorrow, Mr. Pounder says in the north, cloudy, some areas of light snow and flurries. In central sections, cloudy, some snow flurries, especially during the afternoon. In the south, mostly cloudy, some sprinkles, some flurries, primarily during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow will range from 28 in northwestern Illinois to 52 in the far south. The extended forecast, afternoon and evening scattered snow showers until the end of the week. Sunny skies by Sunday, but temperatures will also drop well below freezing. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Researchers at the University of North Dakota and Minnesota State say that in some cases, gasoline blends of 20 to 30% ethanol improve vehicle fuel economy while doing no harm to engines. The test, if confirmed by officials at the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Energy, could affect policies in a number of Midwestern states wishing to boost ethanol blends without the re-engineering of car engines. Under new energy legislation, the EPA must grant a waiver to allow ethanol blends above 10%. President George Bush yesterday said he will veto the farm bill if it raises taxes or fails to cut off subsidies to the wealthiest 2% of Americans. Bush made his statement in a 15-minute ceremony marking the arrival of new USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer. The U.S. Department of Justice is calling for an end of futures exchanges being permitted to own or control clearing functions. The DOJ says this has served as an impediment to new entrants to markets. CME Group officials were quick to criticize the DOJ recommendation. CME Chief Executive Craig Donohue says the DOJ's views are just one opinion. CME shares yesterday hit its lowest level in 16 months. The DOJ announcement could have implications for CME Group's proposed friendly merger with NYMEX Holdings, a move that would lead to further consolidation among clearing functions. USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service is expected to begin beta testing as early as next week on electronic grading of meat by machine at four packing plants. The tests will have human USDA graders and machines doing the work side by side. The electronic machines take a picture of the cut of beef and break it down into 100 segments before calculating the grade. Brazil says it plans to double ethanol production over the next 5 years from 18 to 35 million cubic meters. To meet production increases, Brazil will need to increase its sugarcane production by an annual compounded growth rate of 8.5%. Currently, sugarcane area for ethanol amounts to just 3% of Brazilian farmland. The Andersons say fourth quarter net income rose to $23.5 million previous year. USDA has withdrawn its inspectors from a California beef packers plant as part of an investigation of alleged cruelty to cattle. The action essentially closes the doors of Westland Meat Company and Hallmark Meat Packing Company. The Humane Society of the U.S. released videotapes showing Hallmark workers using abusive techniques to force downer cattle into the slaughterhouse. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is the Director of Agricultural Programming at the public radio stations on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Public radio for the farming world. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. I host a program called Commodity Week 2. You can find them both at the website, willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On the line with us this afternoon on a Thursday to take a look at what happened at the cash grain market is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been kind of a wild and woolly week. Big day yesterday. Probably a lot calmer today than it was earlier in the week, I would think.
Yeah, a lot calmer. I think we saw a lot of cash movement yesterday, as Dan was alluding to earlier. And we've seen the basis for the last week period here kind of weaken up on the corn, especially kind of mixed on the soybeans. I think this Minneapolis contract is, you know, that's kind of an interesting situation and one that bears watching from the listener standpoint, the farmer standpoint. We really have there a cash tightness situation, and it's kind of different than what we've been seeing on some of the corn and soybean where you see some, you know, futures leading the market. I think here we're actually seeing the cash leading the market on the Minneapolis side.
Yeah, and so what does that, what is it the bear's watching in terms of just that it's unique?
Just how it works out. I mean, I think the situation we've got is that the long futures holders, the people that have bought the futures, are the ones who actually want cash wheat, and they want to take delivery of it. And there just really isn't any cash wheat to be delivered. So the people who are short there are unable to deliver. And, of course, we're not in the delivery period yet. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all gets worked out in the end. But it's a legitimate squeeze of what's going on there.
Hmm. What do you see in the coming couple of days, or tomorrow at least, for trade?
I think what we've seen here the last couple of days from the corn and soybean standpoint is that we're going to see an increase in the ups and downs and the moves in the market. I think we've kind of had since the 1st of December, not a straight up move, but a, you know, generally up move. And I think that we're just starting to realize the closer we move to this growing season, I think we're going to see a lot more ups and downs than what we've seen in the past.
And finally, your bids for the day?
Cash corn, 473, new crop, 474, beans, 1280, new crop, 1231.
Bill, thanks much.
Thank you.
Bill Mares with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the ag weather forecast. Right now, time for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The federal government has turned down Illinois' request for a federal disaster declaration to help residents hurt by last month's flooding in Watseka and Pontiac. The mayor of Pontiac, Scott McCoy, says he got the news last night. He calls the denial devastating and says it's hard to believe the government won't help Pontiac in its time of need. McCoy says he felt the town was in good shape for the declaration to be approved. There's no official explanation as to why that declaration request for the two cities was turned down. The news comes as streets in Pontiac and Watseka are flooded again after this week's rain and snow. State conservation officers plan to use a crane to remove a car submerged in a flooded quarry near Kentland, Indiana. Two bodies are expected to be in the car, which was upside down in about 56 feet of water that flooded the normally empty quarry near Kentland. Out of 39,000 Champaign County voters who showed up at the polls this week, 173 pulled Green Party ballots in Tuesday's primary, the first time they were able to do so. A spokesman for the Prairie Green says the low number may hide a larger interest in the party now that it has official party status throughout the state. For the first time, Green voters had a presidential primary on the statewide ballot. The Illinois Commerce Commission has approved programs aimed at cutting down residential power bills. It was required by a rate relief bill signed by the governor last year. They mean that Ameren and ComEd will emphasize the use of energy-saving plans like the use of efficient light bulbs and special devices that cut down on air conditioner use during peak demand. The Citizens Utility Board commends the moves for residential and retail customers, but a spokesman says utility companies need to continue to develop new and innovative ways to cut down on utility bills. An advertisement in the Chicago Sun-Times harshly criticizing a menswear discount offer may have been distasteful, but it wasn't libelous. That's the ruling from the Illinois Supreme Court today. The dispute between Chicago menswear stores Imperial Apparel and Cosmos Designer Direct went to court after the Cosmos ad in 2004, which blasted Imperial for, quote, copying and coveting your neighbor's concepts, after Imperial advertised a 3-for-1 sale that Cosmos known for offering. Imperial's owners say the ad was defamatory, and an appellate court partially agreed, but the Supreme Court said the ad was written in a way where it couldn't reasonably be seen as stating actual facts, and as a result was constitutionally protected free speech. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Pete Levitt on the line with us to talk about the agriculture weather forecast for the afternoon. Pete, give us the highlights, please.
Yeah, we've got a lot of changes coming in the weather over the next few days, a few light snow showers coming back into the area after we clear out tonight and then start to cloud up again tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, a few light snow showers, maybe another dose of some light snow showers, a little bit heavier, an inch or two on Saturday. And then Saturday night, the cold air comes in. We see some cold temperatures Sunday and Monday, temperatures down in the low teens, maybe the upper single numbers. And then it looks like a significant snowstorm coming along for Tuesday. So we've got some pretty active weather in here, mild temperatures today and tomorrow, and then colder, and then we start to get some precipitation again, significant precipitation as this snowy winter continues.
And then if you look to the southern hemisphere, what do you see?
Well, we're seeing favorable weather in the Argentine. They had some rain. Now they're going to be dry. Brazil's been showery, and now it looks as this coming week they're going to be too wet. And so we may start to look at some problems from excess rainfall in southern Brazil by the time we're back again here next week.
Okay. Anything else to add before I let you go?
No, that's about it. Cold weather in the Orient and China may be a problem for winter and crops, so we'll talk about that next week.
All right. Thanks much.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist, joining us here on the Closing Mark Report. Thanks for listening in. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.